Looping is really going to be needed, even if Biden wins. It's not the end if Biden wins and Biden wins big, because we have got to keep going as a community, as unions and community groups. We've got to keep going to transform this country in so many ways, because we can't go back to what it was like before the pandemic and before Trump. It was already, you know, devastating racially, you know, in terms of racial justice for workers, for the climate.
Well, thank you. We're running out of time, but can you tell how our listeners can keep in touch with what's happening as this mass resistance develops?
Sure. I'm going to give you, there's going to be more web presence, but at this point, I want to give you a really important phone number, and it's a good phone number for, especially for unions, but for anyone. If you want to talk about your union joining the coalition, call 503-752-5112. 503-752-5112.
If you, as an individual, want to take the pledge, the Labor for Defending Democracy pledge, go to bit.ly/LaborDD. That's small, lowercase, bit.ly/ABOR DD. Wraps it up for tonight's Labor Radio, this Monday and every Monday at 6 p.m. on KBOO. Lori King and Dave King of PDX Labor Defending Democracy. I'm Jamie Partridge. Stay tuned for Prison Pipeline.
You are tuned into listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel?
Hi, greetings and welcome to Prison Pipeline, airing from the studios of KBOO Portland. I'm your host, Adam Carpinelli. Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening the understanding of the institution of incarceration. We're here with Aisha Muhammad and Jihad Abdul Mumit from the Jericho Movement for Political Prisoner Amnesty. How y'all doing?
Very, very good. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Adam and Sister Aisha.
Very good. Thank you.
Right on. We have had y'all on the show before. Thanks for coming back on again. And for anybody who hasn't been able to listen to the show with y'all before, can you please talk about the Jericho Movement?
Yes. Again, thanking you so very much for the opportunity. And I always start with Bismillah Rahman Rahim. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. I am the chairperson of the National Jericho Movement, and Jericho is an organization that was started in 1998 by Jalil Muntakeen, who, by the way, for the listening audience, he's been a political prisoner for almost 50 years, and he came home the week before last after a lot of legal and political efforts and a lot of campaigning over the decades. He's one of the co-founders. The other two have passed away, Safia Bukhari and Baba Herman Ferguson. And so we're an organization, we've been around for 22 years now, and we campaign on cases to free political prisoners and try to make that serious historical connection with those freedom fighters that's been languishing in prisons, with the Black Lives Matter movement today, even protesting and challenging the same oppressive conditions that we were doing actually for 400 years, for that matter, but as far as Jericho is concerned, for the last 20 years. So that's what this organization is about. We have chapters throughout the United States, and we link in with other organizations and sister organizations that campaign on the same initiatives. Our goal and objective is to get our freedom fighters out of prison and to educate people around the United States and the world why they are there.
And there's chapters all over the United States. You're in Richmond, Virginia, and Aisha, you're in the Oakland chapter. Can you talk a little bit about your role in Jericho and the work in California?
Yeah, in Oakland, Jericho, we started in 2015, and we had quite a few members. Members ebb and flow as the transition goes. We've done a lot of benefits and did a lot of community education, political classes, as well as tabling and just making people more aware. I guess what surprised me when I first started Oakland Jericho was that a lot of people were not aware of our political prisoners, particularly Jalil Muntakim. So it was, you know, really an experience to be able to talk about him and educate people about Jericho and be a part of starting a movement here.
So this year in 2020, there are so many different things going on in the society, in the U.S., with elections, with COVID, with all the uprisings. And again, we say uprisings, I mean, there's, you know, whatever you want to call it, proletariat insurrections going on in the streets, you know, in our town of Portland, Oregon, right, where people have been, you know, really, really, you know, very, very active, right, and other places that have been active. And there's also, on the opposition side, a lot of activity from, you know, white supremacist groups and Proud Boys and things of that nature. So there's just so much going on for everybody. Meanwhile, we have all these people, millions of people in the United States who have been languishing in prison, and many of them are political prisoners. And then at the same time, many of them are specifically of African descent and they're Black, and we're in a time of this recent upsurge of Black Lives Matter movement. So can you talk a little bit about some of those connections and again, how important it is for people to understand, if they're not familiar, this legacy of specifically the Black political prisoners, as that comes from all these movements during the Black liberation struggles and civil rights movements and all these other strains of political activity that people probably maybe even don't know about from the 60s and 70s that really get shadowed a lot by, you know, yes, Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, what have you.
Well, thank you for that question. There's a lot in there, so we'll try to just bring some high points out for you, Adam, and I appreciate that. You know, the right to resist, we have the right to resist against oppression, all people do. And that resistance, as far as the struggle since the kidnapping and bringing over to the shores of African slaves from primarily West Africa, there's always been some form of resistance, and that resistance has always been punished. And we can look at the, you know, the those that stand out in our history, from the Denmark Vesey's and the Gabriel Prosser's and the Nat Turner's and the Harriet Tubman's and the Frederick Douglass's and the Maroons and all the many other unknowns that have been standing up, resisting against the torture and abuse, the racism and the violence and the genocide from the slave plantation. And that has always been met by the paddy rollers and the Black codes and the laws and the, now the prison systems and the police, the institution of policing stems all the way back to the slave plantation. And so the role of Jericho, like I said, is to accentuate and uphold and uplift and campaign for the freedom of those that really take a stand in fighting against these oppressions and forms of oppression. Like I said, the same forms that we see exist. You know, it's funny, Adam, because it's like, you know, the saying, the more things change, the more they remain the same. Well, things have changed, and they are definitely the same. Right. In a sense of institutionalized oppression and how it is embedded in our system, in our society. So those are the connections. And there, in that whole struggle of 400 years, bringing it up fast forward to the 60s and 70s and now even today, there are some serious lessons. And one of the roles that Jericho plays, besides campaigning actively to release prisoners, you know, is just to recognize the role of prisons in our society and recognize the role of police in our society. Now, mind you, now the United States is a big place. It's not some small African country or some small island, you know, 330 million plus people. I don't know if y'all 3,000 miles away from me. I'm here in Richmond, Virginia, and it's a lot to do, but you know, we try to our best to network with those organizations, you know, to represent and support those sisters and brothers that have always been in the streets, you know, always been building and developing and fighting against oppression. And so that's the role, Jericho, that is the connection. A lot of times, and I'll segue into, Aisha may have a point on this, is that it's very important that young folks, and we salute them totally, 1,000% that are in the streets protesting these injustices, making the whole world understand and realizing what's always been there, but making the whole world realize these type of things, that these struggles just didn't start with the knee on the neck and back of George Floyd. The knee has been on the back of slaves, unknown murdered slaves all the way throughout history, and it continues today, tomorrow, and unfortunately, it will be that until we really bring about some fundamental systemic change. But there has to be that type of organization, that entity that's going to support those fallen soldiers and those sisters and brothers that are incarcerated on the front line. And that's what Jericho is about.
And I just wanted to add that I'm originally from New York, but I've been in Oakland, California for about 13 years now. And this is like the home, the birth, you know, place of the Black Panther Party. And So there's a lot of really strong, diligent, conscious brothers and sisters on the front lines all the time. Just from moving here and networking with the commemoration committee for the Black Panther Party, comrades, other organizations. I mean, there's just so much energy here that's positive. And that's why, like, when Oakland Jericho started, you know, we did have a lot of support. But I just want to say again that the energy here is just, it's dynamic. The people are just, you know, so real about change and freeing our political prisoners as well. And I just want to add on that, you know, since COVID, since all the uprisings, all the executions, I've noticed like so many youth are getting involved. So many youth are like woke, you know? And yes, I remember, you know, Baba Melvin Dixon, former Black Panther and commemoration committee for Black Panther Party. That was his whole thing. You know, the youth are our future. They hold the torch. And this has been a real, you know, eye opener this past year in that regard.
Yeah. I think the COVID-19, well, two things, well, it's a lot, like Adam said in the beginning, that's really bringing attention to issues that have kind of like always been there. It's been the elephant in the middle of the room, so to speak, as they say. But it's taking these issues that has smacked us so hard in the face with, you know, with the COVID-19 to add some humanity and thought into how we are looking at one another. Donald Trump administration has done a lot as far as really exposing the emperor for what it really is and the tarantula system that we live under and how callous and brutal it can really be, and that the pillar of racism is still there, stark and bare and gleaming, as it were. And so with all the election looming, the COVID-19, The blatant murders that's captured on modern day cell phone footage and video footage really shows people that, hey, we have to get out there, we have to make a difference, and we have to keep on moving forward. But it also shows us let me just say one thing that Jericho does try to infuse into the movements today, and I hope all listeners really can listen to this very, very carefully. This really great point here is that it's very important that when we talk about self-determination and defending ourselves against police brutality and violence, that we begin to institute these type of struggles and this type of thinking and organizing in our very own communities. We just, you know, to demand that the government do certain things is, yes, by all means we do that, because the government also represents the people. But what's remiss a lot of times, and Aisha mentioned the Black Panther Party, it's those entities, those organizations, that presence in our own communities begin to develop systems where we can defend our own, feed our own, clothe our own, protect our own, and in that sense of self-determination. And it takes a while to develop that, so we don't have to always be, and pardon my way I'm saying this, almost begging the slave master to ask the overseer not to whip us so hard or to choke us, because we begin to develop those mechanisms of strength and power in our own communities, as one of the roles of the Black Panther Party was, and there's a lot of political prisoners still in prison as a result of this, you know, to infuse that type of modern day thought into what's going on now.
Yeah, can we?
And that's what Jericho does. Yes.
Yeah, can we maybe talk about a few particular people that they're either inside or they recently got out, so people who might not be familiar with them can learn about them, and also what might be some connections there with those struggles, recent ones with of and for COVID, because the way that it's affecting all the facilities around the country is very problematic, the way it gets dealt with. And of course, anybody who's familiar with the term compassionate release for a prisoner when they're aging and dying is the reality for a lot of prisoners right now, as far as applying for that and kind of where that's gone.
Yeah, well, it hasn't gone too far, but what it has done is add a lot of, like I said just a few minutes ago, it's brought a lot of attention into the reality of just how many people are in prison and needs to be released. I'm in Richmond, Virginia, just to give a little spotlight on that. There's about 1,800 prisoners that have qualified for imminent release anyway, nonviolent offenders, and out of them, only about 30 have been released. And even in this, the blatant contradiction, one of the Department of Correction employees that actually died was a warden of a prison here at Baskerville. But, you know, the slow-moving machine, and the excuse that's giving is that we don't have enough probation officers to cover the cases, a lot of people being released. We don't have the mechanisms to do this. There's too many cases coming. We don't have the staff to scrutinize and vet out the cases. I mean, it's the same thing that happens overseas. You create a reprehensible condition of mass incarceration, and now all of a sudden you don't have the means to relieve it. You know, you go into other, with an analogy, you go into other countries, Iraq or wherever it is, and you create this mayhem, and now you can't leave because you created such a ditch that now you don't have the means, the capacity, or wherewithal to build, replace, or anything replenish. So there are about 1,600 prisoners in the federal system. I know that I think that have confirmed cases. 1,600 is 1,000, so 100. I was just looking up before we got on the call, and about 700 staff people that have it. And there's been about 120 some deaths of prisoners, but violent offenders, as they using the word, you know, are not being scrutinized for that. I think Aisha may want to speak on that, but we had a very unique, and this is the element of race with Jalil Muthu King. One of our political prisoners had caught COVID-19, and we filed for compassionate release. An elderly white judge said, yes, indeed, he should be released. And it was a young black lady that was the attorney general from New York that said no. So you see how convoluted this is, you know. And so even when we do have judges saying release people, they're not being released. That's the nature of the beast.
So for folks just tuning in, you're listening to Prison Pipeline, airing from the studios of KBOO Portland. We're here with Aisha Muhammad and Jihad Abdul-Mumit from the Jericho Movement for Political Prisoner Amnesty, and we're talking about those wrongful incarcerations, as well as all folks who are incarcerated, and how everybody's struggling with the global pandemic of COVID-19, and talking about some examples of particular political prisoners who they're either inside still or they're now getting out. So do you want to add more to those examples of some people who are either in and out right now? And
I would just like to add, I'm also the editor of The Dragon's Fire, which is Jericho's monthly newsletter. And it's been interesting just, you know, getting the articles and information together this past year during COVID and the uprisings. It's interesting in the fact that we have so many elderly political prisoners who are very ill, very sick, and have applied for compassionate release, and they're either put off or denied. Ed Poindexter in Nebraska, he comes to mind. He's got a lot of health problems.
Malman Kabir.
Yeah.
Deborah Hutt, Indiana.
Yeah. And like Jihad had said, Jalil had contracted COVID. But alhamdulillah, you know, he's out now. But we have, you know, our at-risk prisoners probably just, you know, just sitting there worrying and stressing even more because of this. And it's a really sad situation that there's not more legal leeway to be able to get our people out at this point.
Right, and there's Sunni out of Coley in New Jersey. He's a state prison, but he's in the prison, federal prison in Maryland. And he's 83 years old. He's at super high risk. And we have Dr. Matul Shakur, which many people know about, who has cancer, bone cancer. He's at very extreme high risk. Mentioned Malman Kabir. He's a freedom fighter in a prison, federal prison in Terre Haute, Indiana. And there's many more people that everybody's now. So if I say these are freedom fighters from the 60s and 70s, now anybody listening, you can do the math and see how that would add up in terms of somebody's age and just the steel and concrete. But the fact of the matter is that hopefully by listening at this information over this network here, that those that are not aware can tune into the Jericho website and see who these prisoners are and see where you can fit in, that you can even help, write a letter, send them some commissary, uplift their names at your dinner table, your kitchen table, in your neighborhood, because it's very important that these freedom fighters that are now suffering, you know, under the scourge of the COVID-19, and just even before that, it's just the medical neglect, long-term solitary confinement, or aging prisoners, all these type of issues impacting them, as they do all prisoners, that, you know, it is incumbent upon us to uplift them in our prayers and our thought and our actions and deeds so that we can put an end to this and bring these individuals home. We mentioned in the beginning that what remains the same is the institutions of oppression. What changes a lot is our movements, up and down, weak, soft, moving strong, powerful, this, that. You know how times the 60s and the strong with the Panther Party and other ideologically based organizations, the American Indian Movement, the Puerto Rican Nationalist Movement, the anti-imperialist, strong then, weak now. But what remains strong and consistent are the institutions of oppression. And we really have to look at that, brothers, to see how we can really bring about that type of fundamental change. I believe they used to call it revolution. I don't know what they may call it now, but you know, those pillars remain the same. Are people coming home? No, they're not. The prison is still the prison. You may be sick as a dog, but you'll die on this plantation. And very few people are let out. We must, you know, keep that struggle going, but you see how it has to be a much broader struggle in terms of demanding this. And so we're asking that the action and energy on the street, from Black Lives Matter to your neighbor, we uplift these demands and make for what is worth our political politicians respect and acknowledge that, so we can bring about some type of real change. When you make a demand, you have to have the power behind it to effectuate that. And so we're demanding the release of political prisoners. We're demanding the end of police brutality in our communities, and we're demanding that our sisters and brothers in our communities stand up in a spirit of self-determination so that we can eliminate these chronic institutionalized problems that we have.
Yeah, and it seems like a lot of the work entails really solid legal support, you know, having a lot of legal support, having a lot of attorneys. That also is very cost exhaustive in general to do that. And then, of course, also doing medical support. And then on the ground, there's the political support, the campaigns and the political education events you're talking about, and the literature that people put out, and other big projects like some of the things that you're all working on, national campaigns and international lobbying. Can you talk about what some of that's looking like right now?
Yeah, well, as always, well, first of all, Jericho as an organization, we focus on each one of the political prisons that we represent. Some of them have defense committees hovering right over them, drilling directly with them, and we always make sure that we're in lockstep with what they are doing first. And then, you know, so that is one important thing that we would do. We have a campaign coming up as a year out from now, but I just can mention it briefly. It's an international tribunal, and there's been many tribunals, but, you know, charging the United States with high crimes of genocide, including mass incarceration and police violence. But to think about this tribunal is what's leading up in this 12 months to October 2021 is the massive organizing that will be going on. So we want everybody to be on note of IT 2021, and we would like to have 5,000 endorsers from organizations across the United States. That's how strong we are coming with that. And I want to say, Adam, a lot of times it seemed like we did this and that. If you were in the woods, you got two sticks. You know, the conditions may change. The wind may get a little stronger here. It may change direction. The temperature in the forest may change a little bit. And you're constantly rubbing them together, trying to light it. Yes, it does. In some sense, it seems like we're doing the same thing, but not exactly. We're doing it in response to the day and age that we live, but you have to keep trying to start that fire until it actually starts. And that fire meaning the energy to build a real unified movement to establish the institutions in our communities to bring about these changes. So, IT 20, International Tribunal 2020, and all the local efforts that is happening in different communities, we just hope and pray that those initiatives never stall out, and that the people in the United States of America always exercise their right to protest and demand, and hopefully there's critical thinking in that to move us forward. For that IT 2020, we do have a website link in spiritofmandela.org, Spirit of Mandela, and everybody knows about the Mandelas, Winnie and Nelson Mandela. They are kind of icons in this type of movement of unifying and bringing issues to the international arena. So Spirit of Mandela is the name of that project. We're opening our doors for organizing for any and all people to be involved in that. And just the nationaljericho@gmail.com. You can always email the organization and get direct information for that.
That's great. And the website for the Jericho Movement is thejerichomovement.com or www.thejerichomovement.com.
Well, on that website, people can always get an update. I know a lot is being said here in terms of who the political prisoners are. Educate yourself, and then also see what other organizations are working on similar type of issues. Get in where you can fit in, but get in somewhere. We're obligated to do that.
Yeah, and it looks like there's a few Facebook and Instagram links for all that too, for people to just kind of continue to stay in the loop and really know what's going on with these different prisoners. I mean, with so many different prisoners, who would you say, or maybe a particular case that, you know, is kind of another, you know, among so many, right, but another like important case, somebody who really
cases that people may know about would be Leonard Peltier, an American Indian Movement brother who's been incarcerated for decades now, and Mumia Abu-Jamal, Imam Jamil Alameen, also formerly known as H-Rap Brown. These are cases that we represent. Dr. Matula Shakur, a renowned acupuncturist that's in prison now with bone marrow cancer. And Sundiata Kohli, who, and I'm sure everybody has a picture of Sada on their refrigerator. Well, this is her co-defendant. And, you know, so those that uplift Asada, uplift the brother that's still in captivity, you know, we need your support. You can find out information about Sundiata on our website. A lot of attention is being given now to raise the money to support the attorneys that are fighting fiercely to get these individuals out. Sister Aisha already mentioned that Poindexter, and there's a lot of prisoners that we may not know that we really need to educate ourselves on. We're saying prisoners throughout, but for you, from me, Aisha, and Adam Carpinelli, we would be saying freedom fighters when we talk. But to put it in the context of mass incarceration and what the government is doing, they're political prisoners. They're in there because of their political beliefs, their aspirations, and they're fighting against the government. And some of them have been framed and haven't even committed any quote-unquote offenses against the government. But they, regardless, they need our support. Time to turn the chapter on that. Mind you now, sisters and brothers listening, that Synchronon, essential to any movement and struggle that calls for the liberation and freedom from oppression and police violence and racism, if you don't uplift political prisoners or freedom fighters of the past, that's a serious remission. And guess who's looking at that? The state, the enemy that you are challenging. They know that you don't represent prisoners that's been there for 50 years, and that means the protester tomorrow that gets arrested for slashing a tire or throwing a Molotov, or maybe not. And if they're going to be there 20 years, they'll be there 20 years?
Right.
Really, yeah. And we got to really consider how we're moving and rolling with this. Thank you so much.
Yep, absolutely. And if there wasn't a greater time than any to talk about Black political prisoners during the age of Black Lives Matter, now would definitely be probably one of the ripest times. Of course, it always is, right? So thank you all so much for being on here. Don't forget to support the Jericho Movement. That's www.thejerichomovement.com. You've been listening to Prison Pipeline, airing from the studios of KBOO Portland. Listen to this and previous Prison Pipeline programs at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Like Prison Pipeline on Facebook. Again, big thanks to our engineers, our awesome guests, and Freedom All. The policeman said to me, son, they won't build no schools anymore. All they build will be prison, prison. They won't build no schools anymore. All they build will be prison, prison. Cause today, yeah, I am a prisoner. I am a prisoner. I'm a
listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO.